Yeah.
He was on a show called American Gothic.
Yeah, I always thought he was going to blow up.
Yeah, he's been on the verge of blowing up forever. Yeah. And then also Lil Bow Wow.
Oh, yes.
I forgot he was dude.
Yeah, that's one.
He had the Hulk car.
Yeah,
that car was in that.
Lil Bow Wow.
Okay.
And then, Lucky Joe's.
So Justin Lin, the director, this little indie director, like just murks it. With the third one. And then the studios were like, holy shit, why don't we give him a bigger budget and see what he does? Mm-hmm. So then in the fourth one, Paul Walker's character comes back. And Vin Diesel also comes back.
But the Tokyo people are gone.
Yeah, because, well, Tokyo, it turns out it took place in the future of the rest of these movies. Because there's a character that everybody liked so much from Tokyo Drift that they brought into the sequels.
So it's still the same universe.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And what the events of Tokyo Drift happen, I think, like between 6 and 7 or something.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
wait, so did this?
It was like a super late plot twist.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, surprise, it's all connected now.
Yeah.
So did the star of Tokyo Drift ever come back?
No,
Tokyo
he never came back.
Did he come back? I thought he was coming back in the eighth one. I haven't seen eighth one yet.
Yeah, maybe.
Because supposedly they bring them all back together, right?
Yeah, at some point.
But no. The Rock.
Well, the cast keeps expanding.
Yeah. He's like an army guy or something.
Kurt Russell's in it. Who else is in it? Like, there's like big respectable actors.
I kept confusing
Ludacris.
The Rock's characters. The Rock's character with G.I. Joe.
Yeah,
I would keep confusing
that
when that's on. I'm like, hey, this is not a.
It's pretty much the same character.
Yeah. That's what it is, right? Like, he's a super soldier guy.
Yeah. It's pretty much the same. Vin Diesel didn't come back for the second one because he thought he was going to be like the next biggest star on the planet. And
yeah.
He went and did Triple X.
Yeah.
And then that was like, it wasn't that much of a success thing.
Yeah.
And then so he came back.
I wonder if he can demand now more as Groot. You know what I mean? Because he's got like two biggest movies ever. But do they count it because it was just his voice?
Dude, that's like the funniest troll of all time, by the
way. Right? Yeah.
Having Vin Diesel play only like that tiny role.
I am Groot. Yeah.
I am Groot.
And he's like, he wasn't even in the second one because he was like baby Groot.
Yeah.
So No, it was him.
It was still him?
Yeah.
They
showed it in the studio. And yeah. And they just pitched him up.
Interesting.
The only change was when he said, we are Groot.
Yeah, no.
So literally, he's only recorded
one line,
like
two
a few lines. And then
yeah.
he's not there for the whole. I mean, why would they keep paying him for that? Like, we could just pay you, just say, I am Groot, and then we'll just play with the rest.
Yeah. He's basically, it's just basically franchising his name, I think.
Wow.
Just so you can
Good
see
for
the name.
Him. That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
Well, I heard the dummy, though, is Tyrese. Sorry, Tyrese. But I heard he's dropping out because of The Rock. Because The Rock has got a side. Well, no, they're giving him a side movie.
Uh huh.
His, like, origin story into here.
Within the same franchise?
Yeah, and Tyrese said that he shouldn't have taken it because he's ruining the team. And you know Tyrese is kind of crazy. He's been going crazy lately.
Okay.
He's like a little
crazy
nuts.
Lately.
Huh.
And then, oh yeah, I forgot about what's her name, Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah.
An open lesbian is somebody's girlfriend on this movie the entire time, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Vin Diesel's
so confusing.
And then she dies. Well, okay, it was her death.
So she did die.
Her death.
I thought that right
was
now.
Was what sparked off the fourth movie, the events of the fourth movie. Mm-hmm. And then it turns out that it was like faked or something and she's brainwashed.
And she came back?
Oh, yeah.
She
yeah.
brain. There was a brainwashing?
Oh, dude, it keeps getting more elaborate. Wow. Like somehow these guys that were like street racers or like
Ronda Rousey
Team
was
six.
In that one, right?
Yeah. Ronda Rousey.
Sixth or seventh or something?
They have a pretty good street brawl.
Yeah.
That's
like
pretty badass.
Tight.
Oh,
yeah.
Michelle Rodriguez and Ronda
Rousey.
You're right.
All right, well, let's start the show because this is, I mean, that's super interesting to me now.
All right, don't flush the toilet. You are now tuned in to the Crappy Awesome Podcast. Welcome to another high-speed episode of the Crappy Awesome Podcast. We're your host, the Diego Brown Project. I am Mr. Arash, even though nobody calls me Mr. And with me is Kiel Siray, even though we'll just call him Chris.
Hey, yo.
We're, of course, brought to you by Platform Collection. Did you like High Speed, by the way?
What was that?
I just said high-speed episode of Crappy Awesome.
I thought it was appropriate.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
that was good. Anyway, go to PlatformCollection.com and check out all the amazing content that's on there. There's music videos and essays and just tons and tons of content to keep your head spinning for the next, I don't know, 9 or 10 Fast and Furious movies that come out. And while you're there, that was good. Chris, give me a thumbs up. While you're there, check out our sibling podcasts. There is Life on the Road with 60 East.
Yeah.
Really, though?
Really, though?
With Cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
Orchestrated, hosted by Noah James and Lisa J.
Yeah.
Proof of Life Radio. Okay, is this still three shows?
It's been a while. For Kali?
Yeah.
Yeah, Proof of Life is on hiatus.
Okay.
As we, because we are going to give it a new host, because otherwise Kali would die of overwork.
Okay.
But yeah. Proof of Life is on hiatus, but you can catch all the episodes still.
But Status Escalate and Bars Weekly is still happening. Active. Okay, all right. Yeah. Both of those hosted by Kali.
Yeah.
But so he doesn't want to do a fourth podcast, is that?
I think he does.
Okay.
I think we just got to like... make him not die of exhaustion.
Yeah. Might need to sit down and have an intervention or something.
Yeah.
You could overdose on podcasting.
He's just on one.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right, the 2Mex Hologram Podcast, of course, hosted by the notorious 2Mex, the notorious 2MEX.
Yes.
All right.
On tour right now.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Nice.
Where's he?
I love 2mex.com. Go there and you'll see all his dates.
I love 2mex.com. Yep. Beautiful. 2Mex is, of course, on K-Day as well with Water to Plants. That's on at 2 a.m.
Oh.
No?
Cut that, yeah.
Okay, never mind.
That's done.
All right, not happening.
Katie show's over.
All right.
We'll edit that out.
Okay, cool.
Give yourself some space right now. Go.
All right, and of course, 2Mex is also on 2Mex Hologram Radio. Make sure you check that out. TuneIn Radio is the best place to listen to 2Mex Hologram Radio. It's sort of our preferred listening platform, if you will. But the links to all that shit is over at platformcollection.com. 2Mex Hologram Radio is a 24-hour streaming service. It's not a podcast per se. But tons of stuff on there, tons and tons of content. So check that out as well. Shout out to our sponsors, Stay Illuminated, for all your fresh gear and lifestyle needs. Visit stayilluminated.com. Right now, you can, is it the free shipping thing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there you go, free shipping. You can get free shipping for anything from the store.
Yep.
Anywhere in the world or the U.S.?
I believe it's worldwide.
Worldwide free shipping.
Yeah.
That's impressive. The code that you want to put in is crappy awesome. And that'll get you free shipping on anything over at stayilluminated.com. Make sure you check that out. Also, our creative partners over at watertoplants.org. Water to Plants is a music incubator in LA. All that information is over on their website, watertoplants.org. Follow us on Instagram at Platform Collection. That is one word all spelled out. And on Twitter at Platform Collect.
Notion.
With Notion.
Yeah.
And of course, Burner Podcast, hosted by yours truly. It's over at burnerpodcast.com. There's links to it over at Platform Collection as well. Tell them about Stitcher and iTunes and all that shit.
Yeah, if you're listening to this on Stitcher, iTunes, or TuneIn Radio, or Spreaker, go over to platformcollection.com. You can listen to every episode all the way back to episode zero. Guys, thank you so much. The network is quickly changing and upgrades are happening, as you guys know already. Keep going over to platformcollection.com. You are seeing daily updates now. Because you guys deserve that.
Listen,
you guys deserve that. It's amazing.
I skipped two people.
Okay.
The Ghetto Blaster Podcast.
Ah,
hosted by Ricochet.
And you forgot.
And Pretty Fresh.
Yeah.
Hosted by Mud's One.
Yeah. I thought you were going to give them like a big thing at the end. That's why.
No, my teleprompter broke.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, Eddie, switch that, please. Yeah. The teleprompter's not.
I have no personality without a script.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm good. Just black coffee's great. This is great. Thank you so much. Yeah. Coffee's helpful. Okay, continue. You were...
That's it. Oh, look for LA to the Bay coming in next month.
LA to the Bay?
In podcast form. So every episode that has played live on 2Mex Hologram Radio will now be in podcast form. Beautiful. Which is amazing because D-Ski and the LA to the Bay crew are so thorough with their show. It's so entertaining. So I think you guys are really going to like that.
That's what's
look
up.
For that next week. Oh, and we have a new Instagram show. So for
what's
for
an Instagram
you,
show?
I'm going to explain it right now. So
Instagram's for photos, Chris.
Instagram Live has now a new feature, which most of you, I'm sure, have not become aware of. But you can now go live with another person. So we're going to be doing one-on-one interviews on Instagram weekly. There'll be from a plethora of artists on Platform Collection. We're just going to pick two people and let them have a conversation. And you guys can check that out. Get in the chat room. They're going to be streaming live together.
I like plethora.
Once a week. Yes.
It's a good word.
It's called One for One. It's a new show on Instagram.
Excellent.
Live.
Excellent.
For Platform Collection.
Yep. That's very cool. So are we picking the guests at random?
We are kind of. Eddie's booking the show, and he's going to be I think for the first few, he's probably going to use like the hosts that we have. Like he'll use all of us to maybe conduct a 30-minute interview. Mm. And it's not going to be like crappy awesome. We're going to talk to people that we're probably familiar with or right. would like to become familiar right. with, but already have an existence on platform. If they're not on platformcollection.com, they're not going to be on this show.
Right, right, right.
So we're going to literally just go through platformcollection.com, pick some interesting artists, and pair them up. I think that's going to be really exciting. So one I'm already thinking of, I think would be really, really dope, is Kiddo and Bonnie Blue. Because I think that to see the, you know, someone who's more farther in their career, someone starting off, that'd be a great conversation. So, one for one. Look for it on Instagram. Follow us on Instagram, Platform Collection. Yes.
That's dope. Love it.
We're here with Juke the First.
Yo,
what's up, man?
Not much, brother.
Thank you for the coffee.
Yeah, no worries, bro. I needed it myself, dude. Yeah.
Hey, first off, let me apologize for the pain I caused. I know it's gonna take some time for all the rain to stop, but look to the skies, I've asked God to bring you solace there. But aware the hardships I caused you were hardly fair. But if we're honest, the weight is just as hard to bear. I'm the bipolar monster extraordinaire, broken at the start, hearts impure just to clear the air. And the best thing for you to do is run away, run away, run away. And I can tell you this with confidence, that you and I are polar opposites. The optimist, the pessimist, the artist, the cynic, the listener, lyrics, and invested in dreams, invested in things. The rest of it seems so evident. It's the etiquette for development, reverence and detriment, or whichever one is relevant. Listen, it's time we went our separate ways. I know it isn't fair. Oh no. Change is scary, but that doesn't mean it's bad. See, I'm chasing dreams and you ain't happy in the backseat. I'm keeping it real, let's keep it real. Real, close to the chest, I confess the best me is the rap version. I'm pulling back the curtains, yeah, I'm that certain. Self-expression is my blessing, now I'm testing my limits. Picked up a pen and changed my future in a matter of minutes. I get it. Batter up and swinging straight for the stands. My music's never had a knack for making them dance. I mean, what good is gonna come from women shaking their ass? Thanks, but I'll pass. I'd rather give you something to relate to. I'm hitting gems in my vocal stems that await you, and remedies in the melodies to liberate you. Hey, you, yes, you, Mr. Tough Guy, and Miss Cool Chick discreetly giving me the eye. Let's take a time out, pause the facade so we can vibe out. Musically achieving unity, now that's what I'm about. Without a doubt, I struggle on a daily basis. From the workplace to working stages, from the buses to the trains, it's insane. This was not the plan. I understand that I'm dealing with my consequences. Brother man can't help but feel like I lost direction. It's all perception. Now it's time to shed my skin again. Listen, it's time we went our separate ways. I know it isn't fair. Oh no. Change is scary, but that doesn't mean it's bad. See, I'm chasing dreams and you ain't happy in the backseat. I'm keeping it real, let's keep it real. Real, close to the chest, I confess the best me is the rap version. I'm pulling back the curtains, yeah, I'm that certain. Self-expression is my blessing, now I'm testing my limits. Picked up a pen and changed my future in a matter of minutes. I get it. More than before, I feel the full embrace of family. What better drug than love to help revitalize my sanity? Gravity couldn't keep me down forever, I was meant to fly. It's my God-given right, let me testify. Pass the mic and I'll electrify the masses. Infinite swipes won't help your chances to match with the angel in me. Because the devil in you was too strong, and I've been on that road for too long. There ain't no going back. Matter of fact, it's time to grow now. Reunited with the light in me, I let it show out. Show up, shut the place down like you know what it is. It's Juke the First, neither a legend or a myth. Just a man in the flesh with hands balled in the fist, fighting through the struggle, looking for the positives. If you're anything but that, step back and let me live. Listen, it's time we went our separate ways. I know it isn't fair. Oh no, change is scary, but that doesn't mean it's bad. See, I'm chasing dreams and you ain't happy in the backseat. I'm keeping it real, let's keep it real. Real, close to the chest, I confess the best me is the rap version. I'm pulling back the curtains, yeah, I'm that certain.
Yeah, I feel like I've slept like maybe 5 hours in the past like 3 days.
Really? Work? Is it just working?
Working, yeah. Work, yeah. And just trying to brainstorm stuff for this project I'm working on.
Yeah, yeah.
It's mostly just trying to figure out a cool way to package it, in a sense.
Yeah, like, so you've been, you know, for people who might not be familiar with your music, and they're going to hear your music throughout the show, take people back a little bit, like, when you first started. Because you're actually, dude, you're actually one of those people, like, one of the, a lot of people don't know this, you're one of the first people that I actually met in the scene that we ended up following a lot on this show because
but
I
wasn't the first person.
No, he's one of the first.
Okay.
I think Sam was the first.
Oh.
No, George.
George the first.
George was the first, right? Yeah. He had to be.
I got to change my name now.
So
Juke the second.
Juke the fifth. it was a Cypher Effect.
Yeah,
I think it was
that.
The first Cypher Effect. Who else was on? I think Bleazy was on that.
Yeah, it was Bleazy, Anomaly, Miss Char.
Oh, Miss Char.
It.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That
seems so long ago.
I forgot the other.
Where was it recorded?
How many years ago was that?
Fuck, that was somewhere in LA. I don't know. I want to say maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 or 4 years,
three
right?
4 years ago. I'm sure it's still on YouTube.
I know it was like Bleazy's first Cypher Effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
if that's the one, wasn't that in?
It was like in a
valley.
Nightclub.
Yeah. Wait, did we shoot that?
Yeah. Or you shot it? I think I was doing sound.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, that's right.
that moment when you're sitting across from somebody interviewing him and you remember that you've actually worked together before.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's how long we've been doing this.
Okay, so let's say that was like 3 years ago. Prior to that moment.
Uh-huh.
How much, like, how active were you, like, within the hip-hop world? Like, do you feel?
I feel like I was pretty active.
Yeah.
I was doing a lot of shows. I was working with, like, one or two promoters at the time, but they did shows, like, all throughout the week, and I was doing almost every single one of those shows.
Yeah.
So it kind of got, like, really oversaturated, but at the same time, I was a nobody when I started those things, and by the end of it, by the time I got out of doing those shows, like, that's kind of how everybody kind of came across me and my music, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was always at the shows and I was there like fucking 3-4 times out of the week.
Just really active.
Yeah. And I was driving everywhere. I was driving from here to LA, to Hollywood, to Riverside, to Corona.
Yeah.
To, you know, just different spots around, you know, Southern California and stuff like that.
I remember you at, in particular, at, I believe it was the first Black Books and Rhyme Books.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. You performed in the rain.
Yeah, that was fun, dude.
Yeah. I remember, like, your mic was, like, it was literally, his cord was in the water.
Yeah,
like,
it was in
under
the puddle.
Deep water. His feet were,
funny.
Like, I think I got a picture of it, too.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
I have a photo of your feet
in the
water with the mic cord down.
I think
yeah.
you told me that story. And that, yeah.
Yeah.
I realized it was him.
Yeah, and amazing performance. I mean,
thank you.
Back then, I already saw, like, I mean, you had the performance chops for a while. There's definitely something that happens when you see somebody who's, like, pretty well versed in live performances. You know what I mean? Like, you can watch an entire bill of, like, a lot of different artists, and the ones that usually stick out are the people who are the most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And you seem, like, super comfortable. Like, I remember watching him, and I was like, wow, like, you know, he sounds great live. Like, it seemed like you put a lot of attention into, like, trying to sound like your records.
Yeah,
you know what
I
mean? Where does that part come from? Like, where do your, like, hip-hop rules that you have for yourself, where do they develop from?
I don't know. To be honest, like, I haven't gone to, like, a whole lot of, like, hip-hop concerts and stuff, like, in my time. I've just been too broke for that kind of
yeah.
thing. So, I honestly don't know. I think it was just kind of like a self... taught thing, like I'm
yeah.
just kind of like I the shows that I have been to and stuff like that, like I really like when, you know, like the artist sounds exactly like they did on the record,
right,
but at the same time I do like that little bit of improv and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been that good at improv.
Mm.
You know, so why not just focus on the other part?
Mm. yeah I mean, you do, like, you are one of the artists definitely in the scene that I feel like does take a, because I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I in fact I kind of don't like the other way, like when you go to a show and they don't do anything that sounds like the record.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's,
I don't
like
that either.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
Because that's not what you fell in love with.
Right.
With the actual
play record. The hits.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
But I think it's cool to see. You're definitely one of those artists who's dipped in and out, like, at different mm-hmm. times. You and I have talked about this, like, on a personal level too. Like, just life happens, and you start weighing out. Like, where do I go with this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, right? Because a lot of the times in this business, opportunity is everything. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It really is. Even there's certain people who can get to a point of experience that can create opportunity for themselves, but that's a skill in its own right.
Yeah.
And it takes a while to get to that point, you know? When you were first starting out, did you have in your mind, like, an end goal? Like, did you see, like, oh, I'm going to be touring. I'm going to, like, how does your path as an independent artist, like where was that going to end for you initially?
Initially, when I first started rapping, and I hate saying that. Yeah. It sounds so weird. But spitting. Spitting, all that good stuff. Flowing.
Yeah.
All that good stuff.
Yeah. Making music.
Yeah. I first started making music, like, I didn't really have a game plan, to be honest. It was just fun at the time. It was something fun for me to do. And I don't know, like I said, I didn't really have a game plan.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't until
you were doing shows.
I actually didn't start doing shows until maybe like a year in, I'd say.
Was that like a thing you felt like you had to do? Like, oh, like as you started figuring out, like a lot of us do, like, you know, when you first start out, then you kind of figure out like, all right, I need to be on these shows. Flyers are important. People need to see my name.
Uh-huh.
When you started to figure that stuff out, did like a game plan start coming together in your mind, or were you still like, let's just see where this goes?
It was still kind of just like fly by night. I just kind of see where everything took me.
Yeah, yeah. You were putting a lot of time into it, though.
I was.
You still are. You know, how do the people around you, like family, friends, like how do they see it? You know, like do they understand what you're doing? You feel like your family gets what you're doing?
I feel like they understand it. I don't know if they fully support it.
Yeah.
As much as they say they do.
Yeah.
There's always that parental, you know, like have a backup plan type of deal.
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't know. I just don't feel like that's really for me, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I have a job now, and literally it's the only reason why I have this job is because I like where I'm working, you know?
Right, right.
I work at a skate shop, and I grew up skateboarding, so that's something I can tolerate, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody's cool. Like, I don't have problems with anybody at work and stuff like that. Like, I've had jobs similar to this one before, and it was just fucking hell, dude. Like, I didn't want to be there, you know?
Yeah.
Every day I got there, and I, like, sat outside for a few minutes, like, mentally preparing myself for being at work that day.
Yeah.
And I don't have to do that here, which is cool.
Have you always been that way?
Sort of, yeah.
Right.
I really despise, like, the normal clock in, clock out, slave away for a few hours, and then...
Okay, so where'd that come from? Where does that thought... I mean, was it a book? Was it somebody that kind of opened your mind to that? Because it's very rare that you just start off that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm already thinking out of the box. Were your parents creatives? Was there anybody else creative in the house?
My mom is creative. My mom's like a really crafty person.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
A lot of the stuff that's like up here, like all these pumpkins and stuff up there, like she did that herself. Like the wreath over there, she did that. And like she has like a whole little
office. She has like an art book. Yeah, in her. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So I feel like that's where I get a lot of my creativity from.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
But the artist lifestyle is a whole...
Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
I mean, parents get nervous about that shit.
They do.
What sort of work were your parents in?
My dad was a carpenter for Azusa Unified School District for my entire life, as far back as I can remember. And my mom used to work for... I forgot what the... It was like LA County Social Services, I think.
Okay.
They're more like... What is that? Left brain?
Mm-hmm.
They're more left brain people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would imagine, like, it's terrifying. Like, your son says you want to be a rapper. Like, what?
Yeah, I know.
God damn it, you're going to be living at home forever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly the thoughts. And it was, and, like, before that, it was, like, a professional skateboarder. Like, that's all I wanted to do.
Oh, wow.
Like, I used to dedicate days and weeks and everything just to skateboarding. Like, I loved it that much. And, like, I've broken fucking quite a few bones already. But, like, every time I'd go to the doctors and my doctor would be like, another one? I'm like, bro.
So
like, let me guess.
But that's still a big part of your life, right?
Skating? Yeah, it is.
You still skate every day?
Not every day.
Yeah.
I wish, but to be an adult.
Is it still a part of, like, because we were just talking before the show, there's still, like, parts of you that are still actively working within the skate world. Is that still a goal? Like, is there still a goal to have a career in the skate world?
I think a professional career would be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily skateboarding.
Right,
but,
right.
Like, if
just in the world.
Yeah, in that industry for sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, if anything, if I were to have a plan B, that would be my plan B.
Yeah.
You know?
Then that's just because you love it.
Exactly.
How long have you been skating?
I started skating when I was in junior high. I'm 27 now, so probably about like 15 years.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, remember we used to talk about it. I think your exact words were like, nobody has it harder than skaters.
Yeah.
there's like so much of society is like fucking skaters, like no skating allowed. No, is that still as bad now as it used to be? Like, I want to say in the 90s, that used to be like,
yeah.
You're not that skate fucking anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it still kind of is. I mean, there's different sides to every culture, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Skateboarding in particular, like, there's a bunch of skaters that like that like piss drunk style where they just like thrash everything, like they don't really care about much, you know? And then there's other skaters that are like, they're still kind of in like a devil may care kind of attitude, but they're very polite and very like the nicest people that you'd ever meet in your life, you know?
Yeah.
I think the parallel that I see in skate culture and in hip hop is that they're both sort of like a younger subculture that immediately got like demonized by society at large. Immediately a lot of scared older people had the same fears of hip hop that they had of skaters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's reckless, crazy hooligans doing things, you know, like staying out on the street.
Vandalism.
And I would imagine the same thing. We have good people and assholes in hip hop. We have good people and assholes in skate world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they're both like that timeline is actually.
It's pretty close. Pretty I think close. 70s. Yeah. Like, right? Like that was like.
Lords of Dogtown? Was
that wasn't that like 70s, early 80s?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that was like right around hip hop starting to hitting Main Street. Yeah.
Think about it. Your two passions are things that just didn't exist in your parents' childhood.
Yeah, I know.
Literally just didn't even exist.
That's really hard for them to understand.
You're an alien to them. Like literally an alien creature.
Yeah. They're like, how does that make money?
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody's going to give you something?
Yeah.
To ride your skateboard?
Yeah,
what's wrong with you? Why would you be the person?
Yeah. It's interesting. For me, I know you're doing the same thing. We're trying to figure out what the attraction is, like what the connection is between skating and music.
And music?
Yeah, other than that, I don't want to go to work at 8 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, for me, like growing up and watching skate videos and stuff with all my friends, like that was the way I discovered the majority of the music that you know, I used to listen to at the time.
Yeah, those early skate videos with a bunch of underground hip-hop on
there. Yeah, exactly, underground hip-hop, and they had stuff like The Doors and just depending on which video you're watching, obviously, but, you know, that's the way I discovered music at the time.
That's fascinating. The delivery mechanism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Wait, so how did you start learning about hip hop itself? Like, because there's a big difference between like I listen to it and we skate and maybe some people freestyle because everybody does it.
Yeah.
To go like, I want to be a rapper. Like, that's a big jump. I mean, most of the time, like even your friends are like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like how did you get to that point where you're like, this is actually something I want to define myself as?
Well, it's funny because, like, I hit a point skateboarding where I just kind of felt like I was – and I feel like it's something that happens in everybody's professional career. Like, you just hit that point where you feel like you just – like, you're not going any farther, you know, you just kind of hit, like, a brick wall.
Yeah.
And, like, you just feel like you want to give up and stuff like that. So I hit that point in skateboarding and almost simultaneously at the same time while I was going through that, like – blockage in skateboarding is when I started making music.
Yeah.
And it was like it was a random thing. Like it wasn't anything that I planned on doing before that. It was like a spur of the moment type of thing. I had some friends here in Ontario that I hung out with. They were all rappers and they used to like record in my friend's garage and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I was just hanging out with them one night and we were drinking and they were sitting in the lab, you know, recording and like writing the rhymes and stuff like that. And I was just chilling, man, and I was kind of bored, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And then because it's just like a loop and they just loop the beat over and over. Yeah. I mean, you know what it's like, you know?
Yeah.
So like I was sitting there, I was like, man, I just told my friend, I was like, hey, give me a piece of paper and some pencil and let me get on the track.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah.
And they were like, what? Like you want to rap? I'm like, yeah, dude, let me get on the track. And they're like, yeah, dude, like find your own beat type of deal. Like you're not going to get on ours, bro. Yeah. find a beat on YouTube and then find a beat on YouTube. I was like, all right, cool, cool, cool. So like I did that. I found a beat and there was like I was listening to a lot of like Grammatic and like Era One at the time.
Yeah.
So like I put on a Grammatic beat and I was like, dope. And I was sitting there listening to it. I had my headphones on and a laptop and I was like, and I didn't know how to like write bars or anything like that. Yeah. Like I didn't know how to count measures or anything.
You just write in paragraph?
Yeah, I wrote paragraph form, but it was like an essay and it was like the whole front and back of one paper. The one paper they gave me and like the end I was like scribbling in like
400 bars.
Yeah. I was just writing in like trying to figure out like trying to fit like the last bit in on the page. Yeah. And they were like, are you done? I was like, yeah, I think so, dude. And I like showed them the paper. They were like, damn, you wrote that much? And I was like, is that a lot? I don't know. I was just writing, bro. So
was it good?
I don't think so. No. I mean, looking at it now, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually pretty embarrassed of it.
I mean, but was it like, was it competent? Like, where was it like,
somewhat,
okay,
yeah.
I knew how to at least rhyme some words, or
yeah.
Were you doing just basic patterns, or?
Yeah, it was basic patterns, yeah. And.
What was it about?
Stupid shit. It's like the same thing people freestyle about, you know?
Yeah, just, yeah. Just whatever.
Yeah, just
stream
whatever.
Of consciousness.
Exactly, exactly.
Wait, so did you, okay, so you, I assume you ended up recording that with your friend or
we
whatever?
We did, yeah.
And then were you just hooked? Were you like, I love this?
So, I mean, somewhat. It was just like a fun night for me. And then,
yeah.
And
you had a song.
Yeah, I had
like
a song.
You got a song.
Exactly. I had my own song.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't want anybody to hear it. Like, I was like, just leave it. You guys can keep it, whatever, this and this. And then I think it was by the time I got home that night, like, I had a Facebook notification. And I don't think I had a smartphone at the time.
Yeah.
I have, like, a little flip phone. So, like, I couldn't be on Facebook or anything. So I got home and I went on my computer. And so I had, like, notification. It was like, you know, so-and-so tagged you in a post. And I was like... No, the fuck he didn't. I was like, no, he didn't. No, no. I started freaking out. So I clicked on the link thing, and it said it had just like my just had my name. You know, said like Neil, and it had like they like titled the song for me. I was
like,
no, no. But like I started reading the comments, and like a bunch of people from high school were like, yo, this is dope, dog. Yeah, you're gonna make some more and this. And I was like,
whoa,
I might.
Then you were like, yes,
yes.
Wait, so approval.
Yeah, wait, exactly. Okay, so then it goes from there.
It was like crack.
At this point, are the wheels
turning?
You got
positive reinforcement, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Are the wheels turning at that point to like, oh, okay, I could be a rapper. Like, because you have other rapper friends around you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Were they like, you could be a rapper? Or were they like, chill out, dude?
No, they were the same way. They were like, yo, this is tight, bro. Like, when we recorded, they were like, yo, this is dope, man. This is dope. Like, you're going to post it? And I was like, no, 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 don't post it. Don't post it.
Yeah.
And then they posted it for me. And I was like, okay.
Okay, so Juke the First. Out.
Good friends.
Yes.
Good
friends.
Where's that name come from?
Exactly. I'm sorry?
Where's Juke the First come from?
It's kind of like just a play on my style, you know, in a sense. I don't look like a rapper, you know.
Yeah.
I look like a skater.
Yeah.
Like a little skater kid or something like that.
Yeah.
Especially when I first started, like, making music and stuff like that. Like, I dress the way I do right now pretty much, you know.
Yeah.
Like, even in high school, I have, like, super tight jeans. Not super tight, but, like, I had, like, the tight pants on and, you know, thrash shoes all day, you know, and stuff like that. And, like, my shirts and pants had holes in them and stuff from falling and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, it was just kind of like a thing. Like, I don't look like a skateboarder, so it was Juke. And then I originally adopted Juke 1.
Yeah.
And then I found out that it's like a graffiti thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, well, I don't write graffiti. This sounds stupid.
Yeah.
Because I had people asking me, like, oh, dude, you write? I'm like, no.
Yeah, especially out here, right?
Yeah.
Especially up here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, like, oh, dude, you write? And I was like, nah, dude, I don't write. And they kind of looked at me like, but you got a 1 on your name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm confused. And, like, someone put me off my game, and I was like, okay. So
I don't know this. I mean, I know this, but some of the listeners might not. Mm. What does that mean?
I don't know the symbolism, but I know
it's like
in the early
80s, someone without a crew, right? Something
Yeah. Like you put like a 1, like, you know what I mean? Like KRS-One comes from, because he was a graffiti writer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they kind of started putting, like, if you're by yourself, it was like a 1. Mm. But then there's like, you know, I mean, what was it? Like a Turk 182, like they even played off of that on the show.
Yeah.
But like numbers became like a thing as part of your tag. Like,
okay.
Yeah, for
that's
a while.
Fascinating.
Mm.
Okay. Cool.
Especially the first people, like the people who could claim the name first.
Yeah.
That was like a big deal.
Mm. Claim the...
Your moniker.
Okay. Because
people would have similar monikers and then, you know, people could claim... I was the first, or, you know.
Why would you want to have a moniker if you know that the other one exists?
I don't think you, I mean, at that, when they first started, there was no way to know.
So, like, if I wanted to
see a train roll through your town and go, like, oh, shit.
Like, oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
Somebody else made me do it.
Yeah.
So, like, if I wanted to also be Kilsire.
Yeah.
And then I found out that you exist.
Nothing really happens nowadays.
You
do. I mean, people complain.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I hear people complain, or somebody will just put, like, a Z at the end or something.
Yeah.
I've noted, because I remember when I first started rapping, that was a big deal.
What?
Like people, I'd seen people go to blows
over
a name.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I mean, which I get the passion and all that, but
well, we had somebody...
right now it's handled way better now.
Yeah.
People just don't do anything. Like,
yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
It's first, dude, I mean, let's be honest, it's first one to break.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Who gets the
name. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just a race, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, do more with the name.
Yeah, yeah. Whoever does more wins.
Yeah, exactly.
That's basically it.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
All right, so not Juke One. Came Juke the First.
Yes.
Juke the First. Okay, so now you got a rap name. Yeah. Now you're a rapper.
Now I'm a rapper.
So now you have to go into this world that... Did you find similarities with, like, hip-hop? Like, once you started doing shows. Because I know you had to start doing shows, and then you start seeing how it works. And then there's, like, promoters, and then certain artists people work with.
Yeah, yeah.
Politics, all that stuff. Was it similar to skateboarding?
Not necessarily, no. It was actually... For the most part, it's the complete opposite of skateboarding.
Yeah.
Like skaters, like, we have, like, this...
Code.
Yeah, it's, like, an unspoken code. Like, you guys just don't mess with each other's stuff, or you don't, like, get in each other's faces. You know, like that's one of the things I love about going to skate parks. Like, even if you're not from the area, if you're skating there, like, you're part of the family.
Yeah,
much,
I've seen it first. I shoot... there's a skate park in San Diego at Chicano Park, which has become, like, a really big spot now. A lot of pros go there to skate. It's a really dope skate park. And I've gone there to shoot. Mm-hmm. And it's got to be, like, the nicest place ever. Like, everybody's super nice.
Yeah.
Everybody's, like, super helpful. Mm-hmm. If someone – dude, to the point – this literally happened to me. I'm taking pictures at one side of the – they have, like, a half pipe there. Uh-huh. So one side of the half pipe. And on the other side of the half pipe, five kids spark up a joint. And at some point, one kid just walks over and hands it to me. He's like, here you go.
Yeah.
And then I just pass it on, and people are falling, people are helping each other up. Like, it's such a dope place to be.
It's a community.
Yeah, it's very much a community. And you're saying, so you missed that in hip hop.
Yeah.
Did you notice that almost immediately?
I did, yeah.
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 That everybody was kind of like, felt like competition.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a, I would imagine, because there's a bigger carrot on the stick at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, now you're fucking
probably
with my
money. A more visible character.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah, right?
Yeah.
Like, in hip-hop, I think, you can define certain paths where, like, that's why I think I originally brought that up about skateboarding. I think we were talking about comedians, and we were like, comedians got it bad. I was like, you know who really has it bad? It's skateboarders. Because in this day and age, say, like, without sponsorship, right, you can do what everybody else does in every other form of work. Like, you can get on YouTube, you can put videos of yourself. I mean, down at the skate park, that's, kids are doing that all fucking day. They're recording everything they do. I assume they have a place to post it up.
Yeah.
Because even, I mean, dude,
are you finding as a photographer that, like, you don't even have to, like, go through a consent conversation? Like, they're just happy somebody's shooting?
No, they're coming up and getting a card.
Yeah.
Because they want to reuse the photos.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah. They're all about it.
That's dope.
Because, I mean, in that way, it's, like, similar to everything online. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, there's a way, if you can get noticed, sometimes there is a bigger carrot at the end of the road. If you just got noticed, you might not be the dopest.
Right.
And I think that's one thing that, like, internet's done all the way around is you don't have to be the dopest in anything anymore. You just have to be
the most followers.
Yeah, the most followers are the loudest online.
Or
I'm the loudest. I get the most attention.
Can I say, with a glasses half full kind of approach, maybe just something that resonates with a certain audience?
No, that happens for sure.
Yeah.
That happens for sure. But I'm saying, like, I think if you're – like Lonzo Ball, right? You familiar with him? Basketball player. Yeah. Okay, so dude is
– his name is Lonzo Ball and he's a basketball
player?
Lonzo
Ball, yeah.
Yeah.
He's it's like a family. There's a family connected to him, like a dad who's very vocal online. Mm-hmm. Super vocal, by the way. And they created an internet persona to the point that this kid is
– the Balls?
He's a pro now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they put up enough – I mean, it's happening that much. Like, if people are unaware of how big the internet is moving, it's happening on, like, that level where he got most of his attention on – he's a great basketball player.
Yeah.
He's not the best basketball player, but he came with a package already.
Yeah,
he has, like – he's
you can market
on the
him.
Internet. He exactly. was already an internet sensation.
Yeah. And if I'm – as a producer, if I'm looking, like, where I can invest my money
– right.
Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah, I'm going to invest in the guy that's already doing the work that I don't have to train him on.
Right.
Exactly.
Which, by the way, for people who just got upset at that statement, that is exactly the same as buying property that doesn't have, like, dump on it or
– yeah.
Or, you know, it's just a nicer – this property is nice. It's already halfway developed.
Right. You look at a neighborhood. There's a Starbucks already. Mm-hmm. There.
Yeah.
That's like the best way to know if you're going to invest in a neighborhood, by the way. If
Starbucks.
You see a Starbucks
I've
come
heard
up,
that exactly. so many times.
Because they do a lot of research about where they're going to open up their next shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
yeah.
And I think it's – so in hip hop, you got in, you start seeing, like, obviously you did the Cypher Effect, so you had to have heard about, like, oh, here's a way to get noticed. There's different things happening. What was, like, what were some of the things you immediately liked about it? Because you're coming from a community that was like, hey, let's all skate together, to another, to a community where you could go to a show and nobody could talk to you, like, the entire time. Because, and it's not necessarily because they don't like you. I've been to enough of these now to know there's always two factors.
Nerds.
Everybody's high. Everybody's fucking high. And hip hop is filled.
Nerds.
Filled with insecure people. Yeah. Like, there's a bunch of insecure, awkward people. A
bunch of fucking nerds. And
you
high.
Put them all in a room. You put them all in a room. And it's, it gets like, very weird.
It's weird. It's extra funny, too, because you look at, like, the hip hop gear that they might be sporting, right? And so, like, again, that older audience that is, like, terrified if this shit is walking by and sees a bunch of, like, scowling faces and nobody's talking, it looks all scary
and all black.
It's a bunch of fucking nerds and you're all high.
I mean, I've talked about it many times. Like, I know you've been in this, like, those circles of rappers, like, where everybody's just kind of talking, but nobody's really talking. Everybody's just kind of telling everybody how, like, they like their, oh, yeah, your shit is dope. Oh, yeah, yeah, hey, we should do something new. That shit happens, like, at every show. There's at least one circle, and it's not really any type of communication at all.
Right, right.
It's like a tolerance of each. Like, we're all
Let me tell you something. Just coexisting. I had an epiphany about this very subject a few months ago. I was sitting at a bar. I was waiting to meet up with somebody, right? And on TV, there was, like, some news clip happening. This is before Trump got elected. And the dude sitting across from me starts talking about politics to me. And my first thought, like, my mind went to the same place that it always goes to when people bring up, like, politics with me, is I have a history of working in that field. So I'm like, oh God, this is just, there's no way that we're going to actually be able to have a logical conversation about what you're telling me right now. I know more about this than you do. But it, all that moment, it just suddenly dawned on me. It's the same thing as, like, people chatting about sports at the bar. Like, it's not like we're not going to get to the root of something. It's not like a intellectual.
You're just shooting the ball around.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's simply an exchange of energy. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And, like, so, like, that circle that you're describing, it's human beings standing around in a circle. This is how we're going to exchange energy right now. And at the end of the day, like, that art of doing that, they've almost stripped away all the other bullshit and gotten to the core of just what they're there to do.
Yeah. You know, I've been in circles where I feel like this is – as much as we could all muster up. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to have, like, we're all not going to go somewhere and eat breakfast probably right now, but we're all going to be like, hey, I like your shit. Oh, I like your shit. Because I'll tell you, most of people who are willing to participate in that are so, they're just so happy to not hear someone go like, man, who the fuck is this guy? You're just so happy not to have a negative thing. You'll take the least amount of positivity you could take.
I would say it even, maybe there's almost like the primal part of it that's connected to our ancestry, where you're in the middle of the desert and there's a fire and you gather around the fire.
Yeah, we're all just kind of hanging around the fire.
Just gather around the fire for a little while.
Exactly.
Yeah. If anybody happened to go missing from the fire, most people wouldn't notice. Put someone else there, but it's a fire.
I mean, he might have gotten eaten by either one of the other people around the fire or or an animal.
Let's talk a little bit about, like, your creative process, dude. Like, when you're putting together music, how does that usually come about? Is it, or first of all, like, let's the basics. Are you tend to write to beats or without beats?
With beats.
Always with beats. So you'll get a beat and then, like, start seeing what the beat says to you, and then you construct it. Is it usually by yourself?
Mostly by myself, yeah.
Yeah. Where do you write the most?
6 feet that way.
Just in your room.
Just in my room, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I have obviously worked with other people before. I feel like those situations are a little awkward for me just because of the way, like, I get into, like, my creative zone and my process. Like, I get to, like, I walk around my room, like, I pace back and forth in the same spot or I'll sit and spin around in my chair or something. Like, I do a bunch of weird, awkward things, like, when I write. And I feel like when I'm in, like, like, a collaborative situation with people, like, they look at me like I'm a freaking weirdo.
So do you hold back a little bit?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so but it's harder.
It is harder. And it's like,
hold,
like,
on, I want to know about some of these things that you're doing. You're spinning in a chair?
Yeah, because I have, like, a little office chair,
right,
like, at my desk. And
so, like, you'll just be sitting there trying to think of it, and you're spinning around like a kid.
Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
In a sense. Like, I'll just sit there and, like, swing back and forth a couple times for a little bit, or I'll lean back and just kind of, like, spin in circles and stare at my ceiling, or, you know, just whatever helps to get the creative juices flowing or get, you know, so stuff like that. Yeah, it's, I'm a weirdo, dude. I'm a weirdo. I say in my Instagram bio, I'm just a weirdo, bro.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the pacing thing is something I do a lot. I'll do that a lot. Like, I'll, if I have to like sit with a beat and then I don't know if you like, I think everybody kind of does now, like, verbalizing, I'm not verbalizing any actual words. I'm just making sounds a lot of times.
Yeah, yeah. I do that a lot.
Try to find the cadence or whatever.
Exactly.
And I find I'm very similar. Like, collaboration isn't something I'm against. I just...
Hold on.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, doggy.
Puppy. All of a sudden, there's a puppy here.
Hey, doggy. I love doggies. What's your name, buddy? Roxy.
So... while they're taking care of Roxy,
yes.
My person who now has the title girlfriend,
yeah, yeah.
She asked me if I'm a dog person, and I realized, like, I realized after having some conversations with her, it's like with that thing that just happened with you and the dog, and your voice got funny. I think that's like the difference between like people that, like, when dog people are asking, "Are you a dog person?" That's kind of what they're asking.
Yeah, I think they're. I mean, do you really love dogs? I mean, you can only really love dogs, dude. Yeah. There's no middle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've noticed it.
I agree.
Like, because if you have like a, you have to like really, because like to be into them, because they need that. Like, that's how they are. There's such a, if you're not into it, it's just gonna be annoying.
Yeah,
yeah.
No, I don't know. I don't. I see all small things as similar.
You just don't like them.
No, I do. But I mean, I don't go googly woogly.
Yeah, you just don't have that connection.
I don't do the googly woogly.
Did you grow up with pets?
No.
No. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's it.
Get along great with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But or I, so I, you think.
I mean, yeah.
She, I mean, I know. Roxy said he. Hey, did your guts.
Roxy came and said hi to me first.
Roxy peed on your chair. I don't know if you noticed.
That's a just compliment. Claimed you.
That's a compliment.
You just don't speak dog.
It just dominated you.
You don't speak it correctly.
Yo, yeah, because I was talking about like the collaboration part. Like, that's something I can definitely relate to. I like the end product collaboration.
Yeah.
I just don't like the process of collaboration because I prefer to write. Alone.
Yeah, same.
So when you're in those situations when you have, because you, I think, was it your last project that you had a whole collaboration project? You had a collaboration project, right? With
Prototype.
Prototype.
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
That was a little bit different. We did most of the collaborative writing like separately, just because he has a day job and I had a day job. So
it was a little easier.
It was a lot easier, yeah. So he would have like some of his friends who are musicians come in and, you know, play, and they would record something basic in his studio, and I would just get an email and then text message like, "Hey, send something to your email."
Yeah, see, I'm with like, that all day. I can do that all day.
Taking over tonight.
I say, who's in charge here? Yeah, we're in charge here.
Raise your hands if you're feeling alright.
Who's in charge? Who's in charge? Who's in charge?
We've come to take back the night.
We're in charge. We're in charge. We're in charge.
Raise your hands if you're feeling alright. Pre-performance rituals. Silly, but it's critical. Been practicing for hours and still hoping for a miracle. Every crowd is different and the mission is to satisfy the need to be the freshest in the room, not just because he's white, cause he sees the need to switch the scenery repeatedly. Sworn to secrecy, the story streets can keep. Hidden in the fog, he missed the morning shifts and sack lunches. Sick of feeling overworked and hates the way his back hunches. Mad hungry, past loves and regrets get reset when on stage. So he overbooks to compensate for song plays. Long days, longer nights, school work, then he's off the right. No time to be wasted. He's making history. History. Staring at the mirror, singing, picture me. Picture me rolling. Hoping his path is golden. Holding the book he wrote in. Trying to perfect the flow. Let's hop in the car and go off to the show so he can kick the door at night.
So who's in charge here? Yeah, who's in charge here?
We're taking over tonight.
I say, who's in charge here? Yeah, we're in charge here.
Raise your hands. Take back the night.
We're in charge. We're in charge. We're in charge.
Raise your hands if you feel alright.
performance rituals. Silly, but it's critical. Cause nerves are racked, these serves a glass. Courage is what this picture holds in liquid form, this liquid gold. Paid for by their tickets, sold to friends and fam and loyal fans who watch them grow from boy to man through music. And the truth is, he's sick of living life like a nuisance. Dreams of living in a house with a few kids and a new car and a good bike. That's a good life to him. Like a new bike with rims. Focus on, he's always on the run. Never ever seems like
I always feel like there's a clock on in the studio.
Yeah, exactly.
Even when the studio is, like all the studios I'm in now, people own them.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Like they're not charging us, yeah. But I always feel like there's a clock.
Most of those studios don't even exactly. exist anymore.
You know? Yeah. And so I think that definitely fucks with my vibe.
That's mm-hmm. fascinating because how long have we been doing this together? Not the show specifically. It's been like 8 years at this point.
Oh, just like since you got involved in hip-hop
collabbing and hip-hop, yeah.
Yeah, like 6 or 7 years. 7 years.
The show's been on for like six, so it must 7 years. Have been 8.
7 or, yeah, maybe.
I remember when we first got in it, like you were a lot more about the studio experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting to see that you had that evolution.
Yeah, yeah, because I don't think I was really recording myself much. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I was, like, recording other people. Mm-hmm. Like, the first whole year, we were recording other artists.
Yeah.
And when I recorded, I would, like, just record by myself. But I still like being in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to record.
Right.
I'll be in your session.
Yeah.
And just vibe out with you. Uh-huh. You know, but I don't want to, like.
Yeah, because I just think, like, as I get older, that's one of the things that I'm observing about just people in general and creative processes that's mm-hmm. interesting. It's mm-hmm. really fascinating to watch how people change
mm-hmm.
and evolve into, like, different parts of their life and different things that they're attracted to and different ways that they create.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I have this, like, weird thing in my head where, like, whenever I start to do a new thing, I think it's going to be like this forever.
Yeah.
And I have to stop myself and be like, no, it's not. It just might be like this for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I can tell you, like, it's funny. Kali said this to me the other day because somebody had said something, a mutual friend had said something about a song. They thought I wrote something about them. Right.
Oh, really?
And Kali said, rightfully so. He's like, dude, have you ever written anything that's not about you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no. Like, for sure. And I think because that's where I'm at creatively, that's the reason it works well. Because
yeah.
It, like, what I'm writing really doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. You know what I mean? Like, either they're going to, like it or they're not.
Right.
But where I'm at right now, that's what I'm writing about. So I couldn't write about that and be in a studio with a bunch of other people. Like, it literally has nothing to do with any of them.
Wait, the mutual know? Friend thought that you'd written about them?
Yeah, this mutual friend thought I wrote like
a jab verse?
I don't know if it was a jab or just a commentary. I mean, but it was so far from, you know, like, I don't ever really think about anybody like that when I'm...
Can we manufacture hip-hop beef? This would be great.
I know, right?
we're long due.
Yeah. So like, when you're putting together a song, like, for yourself, mm-hmm. right? Like, say someone sends you a beat, you're putting together a song for yourself. Yeah. When you're recording that song, are you – because I know right now you're revamping a lot of stuff. You're putting stuff out. Mm-hmm. You're building towards more releases. I've seen you talk to your audience online and, you know, you're kind of trying to figure out – where you're at with releasing a full record as opposed mm-hmm. to songs. Where do you fall with that now? Like, when you're recording something, are you like, this is part of a project, or are you like, I'm just recording?
Most of the time it's just like, I'm just recording. Mm-hmm. I just want to get stuff out.
Yeah.
For a second. And when I say get stuff out, I mean like get stuff out of my head.
Yes.
And like just onto paper or onto a record and stuff like that. I feel like that's easier. And then like with the project I'm doing now, it's somewhat... like, it was somewhat intentional,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, like, the song choices that are on there, they weren't, not all of them were intended to be on this project.
Oh, okay.
Some of them were intended just to, or, like, a couple of them were just intended just to put out.
Just stuff,
like,
you made.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Daydreaming was one of them. Daydreaming was something I just wanted to...
Which is crazy, because that's going to be, like, I mean, it's, like, one of your favorite songs right now, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I actually really like that song a lot.
So when you made that song, this is a good place to play it, by the way, just mm-hmm. a note. But you made that song. Did that start to define where the project was going, like, once you made that song?
No. It was actually one of the other songs mm-hmm. on the project, and it's called What's Real.
Mm-hmm.
And that song was just more along the lines of just me trying to figure out, like, and I think everybody goes to this point in their life, like, who's a friend, who's not, mm-hmm. what's real, what's fake, what's, you know... what's a lie, what's the truth, you know, stuff like that. And I feel like that was one of the tracks that was really kind of like what geared me towards the project, and even the title of the project was derived from like that song itself.
Yeah. What do you feel like for people who've been following you, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel like you have to say right now? Like, where are you at with your life?
Honestly, so the whole point of me making this project, the truth is, it was just kind of like I was just thinking to myself about what I was going to do. I was going to make an EP, a full-length album.
Mm.
Do I just want to put tracks out? What do I do at this point? Because, like, I had taken a long break after, you know, just a certain point in my life. So I was even debating whether or not I even wanted to keep making music.
Right.
And I just wanted to, like, start up a career, so doing something else, like, in the skate industry, like I had mentioned before. But I felt like this is something that I really enjoy doing. And this is something that I feel like I need to be doing, not necessarily for some type of end game project, but as like
just for you.
Yeah, just for me. Uh-huh. And dude, I kind of lost my train of thought for a second there. But yeah, I mean, this whole...
The project, it was going direction, a certain direction.
Yeah, it started going in a certain direction, and I felt like this was a great way to restart what I had already done.
Yeah.
You know?
Is that scary for you right now?
It is. It's really scary.
Yeah.
Because, like, I feel like I'm putting a lot of, like, time and energy and money into this project.
Yeah.
For it to just bust is going to, like, it's going to hurt. You know? It's gonna,
yeah.
Not hurt, like, emotionally, but it's going to hurt, like, almost physically.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And financially.
So what do you... I know, and for people who don't know, like, we're definitely going to be working with Juke in the future. So look for that, you know, through Platform Collection and some other bigger stuff going on. But I know right now, and I'm trying to ask this in a way so people can share this, because I know the answer to this. But, like, you are definitely in a place of, like, trying to formulate new ideas, new presentation. A lot of it has to do with your presentation.
Mm-hmm.
When you look out at hip-hop, what are some of the, like, the current presentations you're just not, like, you're not feeling? Like, is there any part of hip-hop that, like, making you sad or mad right now?
This is going to sound super underground of me, but, like, mainstream hip-hop.
Yeah, sure.
Like, that's fucking depressing. Like, I actually sat down and listened to, like, some of these songs that are, like, really popular right now, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on right now?
Yeah.
And then I watched a music video for it, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? Like... And then I sit there and I take a step back and think, I'm overthinking this shit, like, way too much. Like,
yeah.
I'm really overthinking it. But at the same, and then, yeah, like, I feel like I'm just putting way too much thought in it when I don't have to be doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know? All I have to do is dye my hair real fucked up and, you know, tattoo my face and just talk about bitches and fucking other people's girlfriends.
Well, what
you know?
Stops you from doing that?
I don't know, self-respect for one.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't want to be known for as one of those guys, you know? I think one of the things that I really enjoyed about making music was being able to tell a story.
Yeah.
I'm a fucking huge Rhyme Sayers fan. Like, fuck with Rhyme Sayers, like, super heavy. And I feel like now, thinking about it, as far as, like, an end game, that would be fucking tight.
Yeah.
Just to add my name to that roster would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I had put together a group with a couple of my good friends, Evolve. You guys know Evolve?
Mm-hmm.
And then Redeem. He was going by Redeem at the time.
Yeah.
He's now Elizer. But those two dudes, we had a little group, we had a little crew. We're called the Truth Tellers.
Right.
And I thought that was so dope because that's what all of our styles are, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I thought that was super tight. And I figured, I feel like for a while, like, I kind of got away from that style of music. And I was making music that was geared towards what's going to be dope at a show, you know? Like, what's going to be fun to perform and stuff? Like, how am I going to get the crowd interacted with me and stuff like that? And a lot of the music I was making at that time was, at least the solo stuff that I was making was geared towards that. And
yeah.
I feel like that was kind of weird for me just because, like, that's not what I started doing, you know?
Yeah. As opposed to maybe, like, just speaking your truth.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, let me say this. I think that there's definitely – I've seen a lot of artists perform, and I think that one of the things that you can definitely, like, take and put in your pocket and realize, like, okay, there's probably not a lot of negative attached to that. The way you enter the game and thinking about those things, like, you know, thinking about, like, I want to rock the crowd. I want to – you know, this is – thinking about the performance – I think now in this climate, it puts you ahead of a lot of people because a lot of people don't get that part till the end. Like you kind of reverse engineered it. Like you already have that part.
Yeah.
So now if you put out stuff that's like a stream of consciousness or just things of, you know, having to do with your feelings, I don't think you're going to get rid of that part.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you already know how to rock a crowd, and that's even if that's how you came in and you were like, well, you know, I was trying to have fun. I was trying to, you know, get people into it. It's a skill, you know, like it's a very strong skill that people, I think what I have seen is when a lot of times people will like completely be void of it because they're too concentrated on, well, I just want you to hear me, like hear my words.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But then it becomes I've been to shows where, and I think I forgot who said this, and I want to give them credit, but I always forget. But one of our guests said, nobody wants to see a recital.
Yeah.
Like, cause it's just you're just reciting this. Like, what if I don't feel what you feel? Can I still be entertained by it?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think people forget that, you know, whereas I don't think, you know, you're necessarily in that place cause you've already kind of polished those other things.
Right.
But
that's the difference between, you know, creating art versus just like speaking at people.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
And like the art is the mechanism that you're developing in order to translate your message. And the message might not come through the first two or three times.
Yeah.
But if you're obsessed with like, I need you to believe things that I believe, you know, then your art is getting lost in the message. That's not what the art is.
Yeah, yeah. And I've met like a bunch of people who write really well, like they're really like linguist, and they but they probably shouldn't be rapping. Like that's not their thing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because it's a different. I feel like I didn't really. By the way, I didn't really run into that until we started coming to LA.
Yeah,
I met more rappers here that were about like what I'm saying. Fuck how I'm saying it, and I've always been like, I kind of like both. Like I want you to say it in a dope way. Mm-hmm. And say some shit I haven't heard before. Otherwise, again, you're just reciting like words that you've written. Like you're just it's just a recital. Mm-hmm. It's not designed to entertain me. It's not designed to bring me in.
Why can't why can't a group exist where, let's say, one person in the group is the writer and the other one is the performer?
Because hip hop is it's a big no-no.
Yeah. See, like why? Because I mean, like it's kind of like a DJ and a producer. Like, what if I'm great at producing? I want to create the music, but I'm not good at actually being up there.
I mean, people would arguably say that's what Drake is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right? Like Drake is the perfect example of he's got a good package to deliver his message.
Yeah.
Right. Like he's
Why not make the writer a part of your group though, instead of having a thing you're hiding in the background?
It might. Yeah. We might get to that point.
That eventually. Might be the next thing.
Yeah. I figure like
somebody
it's
said that group.
Yeah, I mean the thing is like
I'm recruiting right now.
No. Yeah.
The one thing in hip hop is I think where like the Drakes of the world fuck up is you can't say you're the best rapper.
Right.
Like just don't say you're the best rapper. Yeah. Like you'd be fine and you're a great. I mean, no, Drake's not whack,
dude. What
you don't get
doing
to that level and you're it's not.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that. Yeah. Shit's hard to do. Mm-hmm. That fool probably doesn't sleep. He's probably traveling all the time. Yeah. It's a hard job. But is he the dopest rapper? No. And you just shouldn't say that.
Right.
If you just don't say that, I'd give Drake a pass. Like, why not? Like, he's just a great performer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think when you're talking about, like, hip-hop, and especially, like, the hip-hop that you're drawn to, like, the actual creation of the words means a lot to, like, the people who follow that type of work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because if not, I think you could just watch, you know, fictional TV.
Listen, I would,
because that's what fictional TV is, right?
It's
a bunch of people who can really portray the message of the writer.
No. I would submit that if a group existed today in 2017, where both the writer and the performer were like, they're both of their images are on all the posters, they're on the album cover. Mm-hmm. They're making no ifs, ands, or buts about the fact that one of them is the delivery mechanism. And the other one is the writer. And that's how we fucking do it. And that's how we create our art. And this is the message that we're delivering.
Yeah. I don't think people would have a problem with
that. No. I think people would be dope. And I think the problem comes from what you're describing is like people are trying to pretend like that's not happening. You're trying to hide it.
Yeah.
It's like as a photographer, I'm 6'5".
Mm-hmm.
I learned one of the lessons I learned pretty quickly is that I can't be candid. Like I can't hide and take a photo.
Something happened here?
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, like I can't. And the more, the less I apologized for what I was doing, and mm-hmm. I just came out right in front of people and shot them. That could be taken out of context. But the less that I did that, mm-hmm. the more comfortable they got. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's a 6'5" dude, you know, taking photos. Like, oh,
yeah, because
don't hide it.
It looks like you're being weird,
right?
Like if you're trying to hide, like obviously you can't hide. So
yeah, if you're trying to like, if you're
trying
to trick people, I think that's where the audience.
I think another thing goes back to a point you've made before many times too, is that hip hop has not put enough energy into defining genres.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the subgenre.
Yeah. Like hip hop's getting old enough now. Like it's okay to have a bunch of genres. Yeah. Like you can.
Yeah.
But by the way, like what you did, I did too the other day. I was telling Khali this. I decided, you know what? I'm going to find who. Like I want to know who the hottest, youngest rappers are, mm-hmm. and what this really is. And so I looked them up. Most of them had, like, I looked up three different artists, right? And I'm not going to mm-hmm. mention their names. It's not fair to take it out of context. Yeah. You have to watch it yourself. But for me as an adult, I was like, this is obviously not for me.
Yeah.
It's obviously mm-hmm. not for me. Like, and these guys had like 30 million views, mm. like on one video, right? And this is this one rapper. So doing what we do, I always tend to like look up an interview. I want to see an interview because sometimes I've been pleasantly surprised. There's a God who I was just talking to noticed about this. There's this Korean rapper. I forgot his name. He's from Korea. He's got one of the dope biggest songs in America right now. Mm. And I saw his interview with Pharrell.
Gangnam Style.
Right? First of all, dude, you know what? He's a perfect example too. Yeah. He actually falls into this category. In his country, he wasn't being a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was almost being like Gangnam Style is a commentary on a very rich area, right?
Yeah.
And people know the story. But anyways, this guy, he was doing performance art. Mm-hmm. And that I was like, oh, that's fucking dope. Like he literally thought of like this character and he's doing it and he's very open about it.
Yeah.
He talks about it in third person. Like, yeah, when that character is doing this and it's super – and it was very dope.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, maybe that's what some of these – maybe that's a thing. Maybe kids are doing it. No, they weren't. I watched this interview where I told Cully, no disrespect, I thought dude might be – challenge, like mentally challenged.
Yeah.
I was like, this guy actually might, and what, maybe they just signed a mental, and they don't know. Yeah. Like, this dude's like severely autistic. Like,
maybe they do know, and that was the selling point.
Maybe, but dude, then I looked up like five of them.
Yeah.
And they're all like, they were all like this. And I realized what Khali was telling me too is like, what I wasn't factoring in was lean culture.
Mm.
Like, lean culture mm-hmm. is like huge. Fucking thing.
What's right? lean culture?
It's people who drink promethazine. It's basically cough syrup.
Yeah.
So they've skull fucked so their own brains.
Thanks a lot, Lil Wayne.
Yeah. What you're watching though is somebody who's under the influence. Imagine like if it was like acid culture, mm-hmm. and you're just watching a bunch of people on acid doing interviews. It's not going to seem normal most of the time. You know, these guys are tripping, and by the way. They're like 17, 18 years old.
So they're doing like permanent brain damage.
Right. Their brain's not even fully developed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when I'm watching this, okay, but this was my thing for like traditionalists, right? From a human standpoint, I see a lot of things wrong with it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. These kids are probably harming each other really bad. We don't know the end of where lean is, like where that's going to end.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's arguments on both sides. Since people got into lean, people found ways to clean lean. Like there's clean lean. Like people try to make it in the most, like the cleanest ways. They take out the chemicals. You knew it was coming.
Wow.
Right? So
I didn't even know that.
Right. So this is like a whole subculture that we, for once, like basically 25 and above, for once, I think this is the first time in humanity's life that we know of where this is happening this quickly, that even the 25-year-olds are left out of what's coming next. Like, and they're so far out of it that they're now they're vocally disagreeing with it, mm-hmm. where they used to be a part of that. Like you would get lumped in with 25 and under.
Right.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Mm.
It's like 21 to 25 is like this whole new area of like you get out of that that 17-year-old rap culture. Mm.
The little bubbles of subculture and humanity in general are just like popping up faster.
Yeah.
They're able to find each other and connect with each other and create subcultures through the internet.
Right. Exactly. And then I just kind of follow the dots, like especially like with lean culture, right? Now there's a product attached to it, which is lean, right? So
Lean is like Coke and cough syrup?
No,
like
just
Coca-Cola?
No. Oh, the mixer is whatever. I think they like a lot of people like
peppers.
Fruity.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a fruitier thing.
So they're just like experiencing.
I don't know, Sprite's still cool, but.
They're experiencing life like on a different level of consciousness, like 24/7.
24/7.
Because they're like that all day, every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, the argument could be made, is that different than somebody who smokes weed all day, every day?
No, that's what I'm saying. My argument to people who are more traditional thinking in hip hop anyways is that all you're seeing is the beginnings of something that's going to work itself out.
Yeah.
Trust me. It's going to work itself out. Because one, there's not a like the expiration date on this is really short.
I need to see these interviews.
You know what I mean? Because again, there's this product that's attached to that.
Yeah.
You know how drugs work in subcultures. They're going to be passing through this drug. It's not going to stay with this group
it's
forever.
It's not sustainable.
Right. It's just not exactly. Mm-hmm. It's not sustainable. So when I watch that and then I hear what they're rapping about, like a 17-year-old rapping about the whole, like literally every other line was a bitch suck my dick. Like a bitch suck my dick. Oh. Like so. That's the extent of the creativity that's happening right there. Why would you pay attention to that and go, that's valid to my life?
Yeah.
And it needs to stop. I don't look at it like that. Like I understand it's a bunch of 17-year-olds.
Yeah.
This is on lean. Yeah.
17-year-olds are already idiots.
Sorry,
17-year-olds.
But let's be honest. Like, dude, I'm sticking to it. Ever since I found out that it is a proven fact now that your brain development doesn't stop till around 25.
Yeah.
Then now I do look at it with a little more empathy. When I look at a 17-year-old, that's not fair to put judgment up against a 17-year-old based on you as an adult, the things that you have to deal with as an adult. If you're dealing with the same things that the 17-year-olds, you're the one who's fucked up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you should look at that and go like, fucking kids.
Yeah.
And then move on. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to sit there and deconstruct every single part. It took me like fucking 15 minutes to go like, oh, okay, this is not, I'm not going to understand. Yeah. I don't need to. Yeah. Why would I want to understand where this kid's coming from? Like, he's 17.
Yeah.
He's
not
even going to be the same person in like 10 years.
Can't even vote.
Yeah, you can't even vote. You can't even drink.
Yeah. Even if you could vote, you probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And you're probably drinking anyways. But yeah, I think when this is what I'm saying is like, it is a dope time that a Juke the First can exist at the same time as those artists. To me, that's dope.
Uh-huh.
And this is the one thing that I do think the younger generation is kind of cool with, is they're cool with all of it. Mm-hmm. They don't really give a fuck. Like, they're not having like that hip hop conversation that we all had. Like, what's real? They're not having that. It's not even happening at all.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just like, yeah, I bump Juke. And I bump Lil Yachty. And I bump, you know, this punk rock group. And that's where it's going. So if you can't like anchor yourself to whatever it is that you like and find a way to just package that and allow people to easily digest it, even if it is a complex art that you're creating, to me, the creative part, the most creative people will find a way to simplify that in words that anyone can understand.
Right.
But it's very challenging.
Yeah.
But that's why I know it's going to work itself out.
Yeah.
Because to me, I just go, I know I'm more creative than them. I know I am. Because that doesn't take a whole lot to do what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
So just challenge yourself. You know what I mean? And I try to tell most of like the artists that we talk to, especially the ones who are like, because people are heartbroken, man. I get it. Shit is heartbreaking. Like when I saw it, I was like, oh, wow, that fucking sucks. Like, and at one point I'm like, they're missing out on all the shit that I love about it. They're literally missing all of it.
Exactly.
They're not attached to any part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's why it's not proactive for an older artist to down the younger artist, because you're just perpetuating that. They're going to be like, yeah, well, fuck, your shit's not dope because all you say is we're whack all the time. Yeah. Like, we're just whack all the time. Why would I listen to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I think I think older artists have a huge opportunity right now because the younger minds are open. If you can fill them with ways and speak in languages that they understand, I think you have like a major chance right now to make a big dent in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Just, but does that mean we got to do lean?
No. But you can have...
Do you lean?
But,
how do you describe that?
I mean, you drink it. It's just a drink.
Lean? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, are you on lean? Are you leaned? How does lean? That adjective work?
Like, oh, I don't know. I don't even know the words. Leaned out? I know. They probably leaned know. Out. They'd be like, get out of here, narc.
If they could muster up the energy.
More like juke the narc, man.
Bitch suck my dick.
Bitch suck my dick. Dude, I mean, that is 17, bro.
Yeah, I know.
Like 17. Like, they're talking to probably a 17-year-old girl. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? That shit is crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like you said, though, like...
Why are you even watching that?
What you said is crazy and so true. It's just not sustainable.
Yeah. Mm.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? You know what happened was UGK, which was a group called Underground Kings. People know Bun B died of overdosing on lean. At that time, it was a southern drug for neighborhoods, like a lot of these drugs pop up, who couldn't afford any other type of drug. It was very low income because it was an easy drug to get. You could go to the store and just buy some cough medicine and just get yourself fucked up.
Yeah.
It's not that anymore, though. It's weird because these kids are talking about making millions and you're drinking lean.
Yeah.
Well, that's crazy.
It's like the hipster fashion.
Yes.
Hipster fashion started with rich kids in New York who just were kind of rolling out of bed and walking around town.
Yeah. And then somebody's like, that's a style.
That looks dope. I'm going to start dressing like I just rolled out of bed and started walking around town. But I'm going to spend a lot of money on it.
Yeah, dude. I think it's like
– I kind of want to try lean now.
Do you? You're the drug experimenter.
I want to know what it feels like.
I think it just slows your roll.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever like had like a really bad like cold and you drank some cough medicine?
Yeah,
right. Or cold cough medicine.
Right.
And you know how you get kind of. I mean, it can knock you out. Like, it's usually my best sleeps when I take.
Yeah.
It's so the trick is to do a like normal double the normal amount and push through the tiredness and something happens.
Oh, like Quaaludes.
Yeah. Like if you hold out on Quaaludes, you get super high. Which is why you can't find them anymore.
Yeah.
But so lean's kind of the same thing. The longer you're on it, the longer you're drinking it, the more you push through the tired part. I assume the more visual. I know it gets visual.
Really?
Yeah. But I know the hangovers are vicious, which is why people stay on it because they don't ever want to come off of it.
So it's like heroin.
I mean, that's what they call it. They call it liquid heroin. But
I don't want to do lean.
I mean, who was the guy from ASAP Mob? They just lost like the guy who created ASAP Mob like last year.
Really?
Off of that, yeah.
Because of lean.
Because he was addicted to it, and what he would do is mix it with alcohol, and you know, he just fell asleep and choked.
Wow.
Because he was so out, you're not going to wait. That's how a lot of people would die. I've heard people die on lean by just falling asleep on their face.
Wow.
Yeah, like in their pillow.
That's insane.
Because they're so out, and even as their body struggles to survive, it won't wake them up.
It's fucked up because, like, there's no way to communicate to a 17-year-old kid that what he's doing is causing permanent damage.
No. Yeah.
There's no way you can get that information to stick.
Mm-mm. They don't know next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, in fact, there's a study that I was reading about a while ago. I was discovering that they're saying, like, the parts of the brain that, like, light up when you're communicating with a stranger – those are like the same parts, like those are the same connections. I'm not describing this right, but those are the same connections that people have about their future selves. And the younger you are, the more of a stranger your future self is.
The identity. Yeah.
So it's like telling somebody to, you know, oh, you should eat right and not do drugs.
Yeah, you're going to get diabetes one day.
You might as well be saying, like, we shouldn't do that. Yeah. We can diabetes this
Can
together.
We get on diabetes? What is that? Do we pour that?
Like, telling a 17-year-old that is basically saying, like, you should do that so that this stranger that's walking across the street right now will feel better.
Yeah.
I have no idea who that person is.
Yeah.
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 That's the, like, there's no, I don't know, I feel bad for kids today.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot. I mean, the challenges are crazy.
Yeah.
The challenge, I can't even imagine. I mean, can you guys imagine, like, going to high school right now? Like, starting high school?
Hell no.
Like, as the person you are right now, even, I'd still not want to.
Oh, no.
I'd be like,
I wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah, I'd kill myself. I'd be like, everybody's dumb. We're all dumb. We're all dumb.
Everybody's offended by everything.
Yeah. And status is everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's about likes and connection. Yeah, no, and just even living in a world where, like, the screen, the computer screen, omnipresent.
Yeah.
That is affecting the way that people's brains are developing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And finding that this generation of young men is the largest percentage of young men in a generation dealing with erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
Because they're having access to the dopamine high of hardcore porn.
Whenever they want. Yeah.
Immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as you want and as crazy as you want it
to be. And self-created a lot.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's like the biggest trend.
What?
Like self-created porn for people 15 and under. That's I just read this article.
Why wouldn't it be?
How did we get here?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, like, how do we get here in this conversation?
This is what happens on Crappy Awesome.
Welcome to Crappy Awesome.
Thanks.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's super important right now for artists to find because I think this is where we're inevitably going back. Like all the things that artists are kind of like, especially like a lot of our friends, they're like unsure of like, oh, you know, do I have to change? Do I have to be? No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Like literally you, the originality of you packaged correctly is enough.
Yeah.
And that's what people need to like really
come.
So if that's the only problem, like letting people know who you are. I said this the other day. I think it's our number one job, period, in all of our jobs is just – it's storytelling.
Mm.
That's what the fucking job is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like they have to understand where you're coming from. And if they don't, you're not going to connect.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just the truth of it. Like there's too many options. There's way too many options. And I for one would love to see more of our friends get way more active in – like because – What ended up happening, I think social media was hijacked by a lot of ill intention.
Mm.
And now people kind of like, they think that that's all it can be.
Yeah.
And it's so incorrect. It's so incorrect. Just be more creative, dude.
Yeah.
Like, that's all you have to fucking do. You don't have to, like, play the social media game like that. There's people doing it really, really well that are putting out great art on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing art. And they're not pandering.
Right.
You know, like they're not doing any of those things. I think when you look at it like as a pandering thing or like, oh, I don't want to, you know, I mean, dude, it's if your job is storytelling and you don't like to storytell, this might not be for you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like because that's where we're going.
Yeah.
We're not that's not slowing down anytime soon. They're finding it way easier to get things in our hands that make us tell stories easier.
Yeah.
Right. Like. Our phones, I mean, my phone is amazing. I was looking at it the other day. I was like, this phone, the iPhone, like all these, they're fucking amazing. Like I do everything on my phone now.
Yeah.
Like it's very rare that I'm in front of my computer unless I'm recording a song. And I'm literally trying to figure out how to supersede that too. You know, because I know it's coming.
You just do it on your phone?
It's coming. Yeah. It's just processing power.
Well, I mean, yeah. Once the processing, on your phone.
Yeah, I have GarageBand on my phone, but it just... Like right now, it's a little held back.
I DJ on my phone when I'm on the elliptical machine.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm on there for like 45 minutes, and I'll just start DJing.
The last Hip Hop Wednesdays, a rapper producer by the name of Sojourn came in with his iPad.
Nice.
And he just had two turntables on it, and he fucking killed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like he'd rap, he'd go back, fucking cut up, rap. Like it was dope. So there's like you can make all this shit work for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
How are you feeling about production, by the way, Drew?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Actually, like making the music. Like
oh,
the
making
beats.
The music?
Making the beats.
Actually, I actually enjoy it a lot.
Mm.
Yeah.
Like, when I can't write lyrics, I make beats.
Yeah.
I produce my own stuff. I produce for other people, like close friends of mine or anybody who really wants it. There was a time where I was just selling all my old beats. Because I had a bunch. And then I was like, I'm not going to use any of these for anything. So I just started posting some of them up online. And a few people, not a lot of people hit me up, but like
right.
people were hitting me up buying my beats. And I was only selling like 10 bucks because
right.
I feel like it's like an unfair trade, regardless of what, you know what I mean?
How did
it's
you,
like,
what do you produce
it's
on?
Not like a physical, huh?
What do you produce on?
I use Pro Tools and Machine.
Okay.
I actually don't have a physical machine anymore. I sold it. but I still use the Machine 2 software because I fucking love it. Because
you do all the same stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then a lot of the times, like with daydreaming, I run Machine as a plugin in Pro Tools.
Oh.
And then I could just record it straight into Pro Tools, straight into my Pro Tools session.
Yeah, yeah.
So like what I do, like one of my favorite ways of making music is actually having musicians play music.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not a musician. I don't know how to play any instruments really. Yeah. So like I'll have one of my buddies come by and I'll just use Machine to wipe out a drum beat really quick, like just a nice, easy, mellow drum rhythm.
Yeah.
And then have them start playing whatever instrument it is there.
And then are you like do you produce it to the end? Like, do you do all the sequencing and all that stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, you're just using them almost like studio musicians.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's dope.
I think the only person that really takes like a bigger role is Eliezer.
Yeah.
He takes like a really big role when it, like, when me and him actually work on stuff. He goes the extra mile into like creating like an intro or like bridges and, gotcha, you know, like different ways, like really carrying the music part of it, yeah, throughout the whole thing. And then I just kind of just make like percussion and drum loops to match.
Who's your favorite producer right now?
Favorite producer?
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't really keep up with too many of them. Mm. I think the only like solid producer that I work with a lot is this dude named KJS.
Mm.
I went to school with him a couple years ago. We both went to AI.
Yeah.
So that's how I met him.
Oh, and wow.
I'm actually using a beat that he sent me on this project.
And he still works with you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Every once in a while, like, we're both, like, really busy.
Otherwise, are you tracking down beats? Or are you, like, openly tracking down? I mean, people are listening.
Yeah.
So if people want to send you stuff, they can send. You're still accepting beats?
Yeah, yeah, always. Okay. Never, like, I don't actively go around looking for beats, you know? Just because I feel like my friends are talented enough to
make what you need.
Yeah, to make what I need, exactly.
That's really dope, man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, so let me ask you this, dude. Going into 2018's right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. There's a lot of... we got a lot of stuff coming up. Yeah, like I said, Juke and a bunch of us are going to be working together in the future. But as far as, like, your fan base,
mm-hmm,
what do you feel like you can tell them to expect, like, coming this year?
Coming 2018?
Yeah.
Well, for sure, definitely this project. I'm actually working on a really dope package for the project. So it's going to be like a merch package. And I'm still debating over whether or not I want to do physical hard copies.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because I don't know how many people are interested in spending money on that kind of thing.
Get 100, you know? Bro.
Get 100?
Just get 100 and mm-hmm, have them for shows.
Got you.
I think that's like the best way to do mm-hmm it. Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, what I was thinking about doing was having the actual project up on, like, iTunes and stuff as, like, a free download.
Yeah.
For everybody who, you know, doesn't see me that often or, yeah, you know, just internet fans, people who are, like, out of town or, mm-hmm, like, from different states and stuff like that, they can just go up there and download it for free.
That's dope.
And then for, like, the people who are actively following me, mm-hmm, actively, like, catching up at shows or, you know, stuff like that, that's who I'm really gearing all of, like, the actual physical product for.
Yeah, yeah, because I feel like... one of the things that I've definitely seen, and we talked to other people about, like, Reverie, we've talked to you about this, Gavlin, like, people just like mementos, like, yeah, and the CDs, uh-huh, have kind of become that, so.
Exactly.
I think if you have something, like, I definitely think the rule is to have something for somebody to buy, for sure,
mm-hmm,
because sometimes people do just want to support, and if you can't find a way for them to support,
yeah,
other than just downloading shit, they even get kind of let down.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, so if they can just buy a CD, I think that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think, do you think musically people are going to hear a side of you they haven't heard yet?
Not necessarily something they haven't heard yet.
Yeah.
More like something they haven't heard in a very long time.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, I don't remember if I told you when we spoke at Thought Fest.
Yeah.
Like, just this past, especially this year, I've been going back and getting in touch with, like, same person I was when I first started.
Yeah.
But just kind of clinging on to the knowledge that I have now.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's something that has really helped me before in the past.
I think so, too.
You know? So, this is definitely going to be not necessarily restarting.
Yeah.
But
I think,
revisiting.
I think this time for you, in the way I've been envisioning a lot of the stuff for you, is I think this is, like, the first time you're going to be able to, like, speak to an audience with, like, all engines running.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? As opposed to in the past, maybe you'd have to be like, oh, I wish this could have been better, or this could have been better.
Exactly.
Like, I definitely think, like, one of the things that we're definitely working with you is to make sure that people can easily access you, but also see that, like, oh, this is much bigger than what it's ever been before, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that, I think it's a really dope thing, man. I think you're a very deserving artist, dude. I've told you this before. I'm a fan. And it's dope how things happen. I mean, I just literally ran into you at Thought Fest.
Yeah, yeah.
You were definitely, I remember talking to you that night. You were definitely in a place of mind where you were evaluating a lot of stuff.
Exactly.
And I think we talked that night that the dope thing is I've done this enough times. I know Rosh has done this enough times where I just trust in the fact that people that need to be around each other find each other.
Exactly.
It's just happened enough times now, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, dude, you're a great story. I mean, you're literally one of the first things we ever did up here, filming a Cypher Effect.
Yeah.
And you were on that. And that's then dope. Now, how many years later? This is dope.
Yeah, that's super dope.
Dude, tell people how they can get in touch with you right now, especially producers. Hey, you never know. Send me beats. But,
shoot me some stuff, man.
But how can they get in touch with you? What's the best way?
Best way, I would say, is just to go onto my Instagram, and then I have my email connected there.
Okay.
So for producers, if you guys wanted to, you know, send me some beats or you wanted to collab on some stuff.
Yeah.
And they slide you the DM.
Slide into his DM.
Slide into my DM.
Unless you're 17 on lean. Get out of there. Get out of there.
Don't go anywhere near
my DMs.
Get
off the lean, kid.
He'll
turn the water hose on you.
Scram.
Scram.
Get off my lawn. Yeah.
So exactly. Juke the First, Instagram.
Yeah. At Juke the First is JOOK the First.
Yep. Yo, and guys, if you are listening to this on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or Spreaker, go over to platformcollection.com and you'll see all the links there, as well as Juke's videos. Just search him on the search tab and look for a bunch of stuff coming up from him very soon. Dude, thank you so much, man.
Yeah, no worries, man.
Yeah, dude, it's exciting to see. Man, I would have hated if you threw in the towel, bro. I'm glad you did not throw in the towel. Yeah. I think you got a lot more to say, dude. So I think right now is a perfect time for you, bro.
Yeah, man. I honestly feel like that night at Thought Fest was something that I really needed. You know?
That's awesome. That was awesome.
Like, it was like a spur of the moment thing. Like, I honestly wasn't planning on going. I'm sorry, 60s, but I wasn't planning on going. Yeah. Like, originally, you know?
We're going to see him next.
Yeah.
Literally, where we're going.
Yeah, like, I wasn't planning. I actually saw him. He actually came into my work, like, a few days ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude, I wasn't planning on going. I just got tickets from a friend of mine and...
Who didn't even go with you, right?
Yeah, didn't even go with me.
I remember you were telling me.
Didn't even go. And then the other, like, my other friends that were supposed to go with me also didn't go.
Yeah.
So I was just there by myself chilling. But luckily, I knew a lot of the people that were there, you know, so I was kicking it with them. And, dude, I heard that a lot that night. The same thing was like, you know, where you been? Where's the new music at? Like, you know, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? Like, where have you been, bro? Like, that kind of thing. So, like, I think that was like that type of reassurance was something that.
It's always dope to know that.
Like a great way to spark.
Yeah, like maybe you touch people that you didn't really, or you didn't know you had touched them that much.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's super dope, man.
Your career started with people leaving comments on your thing.
Yeah.
And it resurfaced with people leaving comments on you in real life.
Exactly.
People leave comments.
Yeah.
They keep them going.
People are walking up to him trying to hit like. On his body.
Just make a shirt, like comment.
Yeah.
Dude, thank you so much. Again, guys, support everything Juke's doing, and the links are on the website if you're listening to it on the other services. Go there now.
Yeah. Yep. Get off that lean.
Get off that lean, kids.
Stop leaning.
Pour it down and
stand up straight.
Be now flush
stand up straight.
Hey. Yeah. I remember when I sat at my desk, unconcerned with the world, the value of X. I closed my eyes and fell into the depths of my mind, when my skies were clearer than the reasons for my pride. And I tried to see the world the way they saw me, but the presentations breeding hatred never saw the love. And that was something that I needed very dearly. My teachers never listened, my peers couldn't hear me, so I sought refuge amongst the moons and Neptunes. And sunny days don't have to wait till next June. I could escape to anywhere I want to go. Jam a living legend to Barcelona or Monaco. Mon ami, when it comes to life, there's always more to see. And as the story keeps unfolding, I'm hoping I can make it there. For this message, I'm hoping that I made it clear.
spent my whole life with my head in the clouds, dreaming dreams of doing everything but coming back down to earth. I hit the ground in search of something bigger than me, something bigger than you. Chased the feeling of free and found a reason to be selfless and be myself, ball off and throw caution to the wind. Cause stop is not an option, I'm a Spartan with a pen. I've conquered all my woes and rebuilt from within. Stronger than ever, I found my light, and I'll be damned if I don't let it shine. Reflecting all these images I'm hidden in my mind, but will they manifest? The only question here is time. I believe the key is your imagination and your ability to free yourself from limitations. Open up your heart and find peace in what today brings. No matter what, never ever quit your daydreams.
PlatformCollection.com.